Tell me about the 71-72 Cup campaign, because you played every game in that. Now, that was really something that really put Gloucester on the map, didn't it, that campaign? What are your memories of that?
An amazing run of games, really. To be playing, first of all, Bath and beating Bath away. We didn't always do that.
Yeah.
You shared the honours, mainly winning at home, not always, but winning away at Bath was something that didn't happen that often. Winning away at Bristol, likewise, you know, that didn't happen very often.
Yeah.
So that was really two good results and put us on the way with you know, high hopes. We then had to go to Coventry. And in those days, Coventry were...
Yeah, but before Coventry was the London Welsh game, wasn't it? Coventry was the semi-final.
Coventry, okay. We played London Welsh was the game, I guess.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is the one, yeah.
Yeah, it was the game. I think they had 11 internationals.
Yeah.
They had players like Mervyn Davies, yeah. Gerald Davis on the wing, John Dawes, and a few of the forwards, Evans, I think his name was, and that I didn't really know, but and John Taylor, mm-hmm. wing forward.
Yeah.
And I think about four or five of them were probably British Lions as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we went there, really, the chips were against us, mm-hmm. but... it was a fantastic occasion, and we, I think the score was quite low, 9-4, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those games we really dug in, and at times we were under severe pressure. I can remember one instance which probably summed up the game for me. It was on my side of the field, and London Welsh made a break around the blind side, and I was faced with an overlap situation, and they created the overlap, and I was marking Jim Shanklin. Mm. And I looked around to turn around and chase, and I thought, the line's open, he's going to score. And I thought, this is the end of it, you know, we'd probably blown it then. But all of a sudden, from the right-hand side, I caught this vision of someone coming across, and he wiped Jim Shanklin out into touch. And I think, I'm positive it was Mickey Burton. And I thought at that time, well, if the forwards are still playing like that, and the desire to win is still there...
Mm.
I thought that was fantastic. We were going to win this game, and fortunately we did. We hung on and we won.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was quite amazing in the changing rooms after the relief and the joy, and one or two players were tears in their eyes and sobbing.
I remember Mickey Booth was like the member.
Absolutely. I couldn't. You know, it was just an amazing feeling, really.
Yeah.
Mike Potter had a fantastic game, didn't he?
He did
in that game.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah. He's one of those players that. He was just everywhere, and he gave his heart and soul to every game. Not a flashy player, just did the hard work, all the stuff on the ground and the heavy grunt stuff.
Yeah.
And he used to tackle people with sort of bear hugs and throw them to the ground and all the rest of it. And he was the sort of player they'd always wanted in your team, you know.
Yeah, and he's so consistent. You always get the same out of him every
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And what was the Mike Nichols team talk like?
Well, I'm sure you probably heard it was loud, and it was he sort of got up close and personal to you and pointed his finger at you and said, "This is what you're going to be doing. I want this. I want that." And yeah, he used to froth a little bit, and spit and splutter, and he was quite motivational. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrific, really.
Yeah. Gloucester really were fired up for that campaign, weren't they?
They were, yes. And the Coventry game was a difficult one because Coventry were bristling again with the Duckhams and the Rossmores and Priest, and their forward pack was tremendous. And, I think we drew it, another low scoring game. We drew it with penalties.
Yeah.
And in those days, there wasn't any extra time, it was just the away team. Yeah. If all things were level, the away team were.
Yes. And there was a whole lot of ignorance about that, wasn't there? I think in the crowd, in the press, everywhere.
Yes.
Didn't realise that Gloucester actually won the game.
Had won the game, by sort of default, really.
Yeah. And then the final.
The final.
A bit of an anti-climax.
A bit of an anti-climax,
really.
And again, a game played on a day when it wasn't conducive for running open rugby, and I don't think we've been playing that style. And I don't think we were ever going to let that game go. We were going to play, and whatever way was necessary to win. That was the way we were going to play. I could even remember watching some highlights of it later on, and I went back to retrieve a ball, and my first thought was to kick it upfield and get it in touch, and there was no, there wasn't any ambition to try and run it out of defence and all the rest of it. It was just safety first, get it in and win it. And it's a disappointing game, I think, for everybody. The fact that they lost players and you know, and being sent off, and we didn't play attractive rugby. It was disappointment, but it meant the world to everybody at the end, probably, to be the winners. You know,
only 5 minutes into the game, wasn't it, when Horton was it? Wasn't it Horton? Was
yeah,
his name?
Horton sent off. Yeah.
So there we are. But why change your winning formula?
Why change your winning formula? Yeah, you know, you look at all the, you know, the sides nowadays. Saracens, they tend to play a little bit. They're very strong in the pack, and they tend to play quite forward orientated stuff and kick and chase a lot, as we saw when they came down here,
you with know, those backs too,
season, with their backs.
Yeah,
and there's an awful lot of kick and chase in their game. You know? But you're right. You know, you play to your strengths.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to win the game.
Well, I was sitting in the West Stand with the Matson crowd, not deliberately, but I was there with them, and the atmosphere was absolutely tremendous there, you know, terrific. And at the end, you know, okay, Gloucester played a limited game, but we'd won the cup, and the supporters were
I think that was an important thing.
They were absolutely
beside themselves. Everybody remembers, rather than a final, I think, the London Welsh game, because that really was something.
I think it was.
Because nobody had Gloucester a chance in that game.
No, not at all.
And I remember being there, and I'm sure the Gloucester support easily outnumbered London Welsh, and the atmosphere was incredible.
And we didn't play London Welsh, so we were one of the few teams that we didn't really play them on a regular basis. I can't remember when we played them, you know, prior to that. So they were a little bit of an unknown entity. At least, you know, if you play Bristol and Bath, you know the players, you know their styles, you know their strengths and weaknesses. But all we knew was that it was a team bristling with Welsh internationals, British Lions, you know. And,
yeah, Gloucester used to play them at Easter, didn't they, Chris?
Yeah.
But that
ran after the Second World War, wasn't it, for several seasons?
Quite a few, yes. And then it died out, and big gap in the fixtures, really, because they were the best side. Well, they were the best side in the country, weren't they, at that time?
They were, yes. It was strange, really, that we didn't play them. And another side that we didn't play a great deal was Cardiff as well. We did play them, but not on a yearly basis, you know. It was every other year or something like that. So there were strange quirks in the fixtures.
Yeah. Then there was the other cup campaign, 77-78, culminating the Leicester final. Impressions of that campaign?
Not many memories, really, of it. In fact, you know, unlike the one that we've just been talking about, I can't really remember who we played in the early days. Playing against Leicester in the final.
Yeah.
Another close game.
You did score the winning try, I think, in the semi-final. Against Harlequins.
Yes, I do remember. Yes, I do remember.
Ended up under a great pile of bodies. I've got a
photograph. In the corner at Twickenham.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, yeah. That's right, I do remember that.
Yeah.
That's really pretty much of that campaign. I remember.
Well,
it wasn't so noticeable.
Scored the try in the final, didn't
it? Yes, yeah.
Which clinched it.
Mm-hmm. I think Richard had just started to sort of make himself a presence in the team. He scored the try in the corner.
But that was a great season, though, that 77-78, wasn't it?
It was,
You know, Gloucester really were playing Leicester, I think, for the Championship of England, if you like, as well as for the Cup, because, you know, they were the two leading clubs.
And that was a change of some personnel as well, though, you know. I think the Steve Balls and the Blakeways and the... you know, were coming through and taking over from players, you know, that had gone on in the past.
Yeah.
So it was a transitional team, really, as well. And
John Simonet, of course.
John Simonet,
Mike Longstaff.
Mike Longstaff.
In fact, you and Mike Burton and John Watkins were the only three players who played in both those campaigns. And all three of you played all the way through both those campaigns, mm-hmm. which is quite remarkable, really.
I didn't know that, but I was obviously aware that the teams had changed from the first final, you know, and that there was a transition to other players and stuff, but I wasn't aware of that fact.
Yeah.